Welcome to episode 34 of All of Your Business. These are the vulnerable, authentic, and unfiltered stories of business owners whose currents raise tides that lift all of our businesses, communities, and dreams. On this episode, we're speaking with Eric Croswell, founder and director of Bridge City Media. And now your host, Michael Jonas.
Eric, thanks for being on the podcast.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you. We were just talking about your blue hair because I can see you. We're doing a video recording.
Oh, yes.
Your hair looks great. Yeah. So you and I have known each other for a couple of years now, I think. I don't even know. 4 years?
I would say a full five at this point.
4 or 5 years. Okay.
Yeah. I met you like a couple months after we started.
Yeah, yeah, time flies. So I know both of our businesses have grown.
Mm-hmm.
When I first met you, you had a business partner.
Yes, Ryan.
You don't anymore, which is fine. But I wanted to talk to you about that first because I think it's important for listeners that businesses grow, they change, they restructure. Can you kind of just talk a little bit about that? That you started something, it took on its own shape, it changed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like all in all, I got really fortunate that I had a business partner at the right time is what it felt like. This is the first business that I had ever started. And just through that initial process of being super messy and weird and figuring things out and not knowing what you're doing, and doing a ton of stuff for free, it was so much easier having someone else to kind of carry that burden with you and to challenge you and to support you as well. And so we ran it for a couple of years together. We started out just doing like way too many things, just like designing websites and filming wedding videos and all that jazz. And it just kind of got to a point where both of us were doing this as a side business while we had full-time jobs. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to dive in fully. It became my full-time job for about 6 months. And I said like, hey, it's like, you need to do this too. Like you got to commit and you got to have this be your full-time gig as well. And it just was too much of a risk for him. He didn't feel like that's necessarily the direction that he wanted to go. And we both really respected that. And then he, just ended his engagement and then like took it over. But ever since then, he's been like awesome at being a consultant almost here and there, as well as like an on and off again client.
Yeah. And that's a really important piece as well, is, you end a business partnership and it's not necessarily like, I hate you, it's the end of the world, and never want to see you again. Mm-hmm. Because I think when people form a business, they think that, oh my God, everything that I've done has to exactly remain. Or if this business partner's not here, the whole business is shut down. And that's not the case. So,
yeah.
So talk to me about what Bridge City Media is and does.
Yeah. So we do, well, for the most part, we do video production. So that can mean like a lot of different things. We do video content for businesses. So we do a lot of like about videos and promo videos and training videos and explainer videos, anything that most like small to medium sized businesses need, especially for just like their online digital content. We create a lot of that. And that's kind of on the surface. From there, we work with a lot of clients who just want to have additional branding help outside of the videos. So we find ourselves frequently working on like sales campaigns for them, like creating PDFs, helping with some like copywriting and graphic design and things like that. As well as we frequently get subcontracted through other video production companies. So we're kind of like this local hired team for like, if someone from LA needs to shoot a few scenes with someone, they'll reach out to us and then we'll be the local video team to get them that content too.
Very cool. So it sounds like over the course of time, you kind of narrowed down services, figured out what you're good at, what to leave behind.
Yeah, totally. And that definitely took a while. It's interesting because I started this business with like such a passion for doing this type of creative work. And I think I was most drawn to wanting to do music videos at the very beginning. But artists don't have a lot of money, and just the process of things would just be super inconsistent about like what expectations were for different budgets and feedback and like visions of stuff. So it became really difficult to work with in that regard. But yeah, over time we really refined to have a niche of working with small to medium sized social enterprises and nonprofits. So I'd say like 80 to 90% of what we do is like a talking head kind of video with some light B-roll and some nice music and then an intro and outro. So
talking head, the person, not the talking heads band.
Oh, well, them too. No.
So you mentioned social enterprise, and that's something I want to talk to you about because I know both of our companies are benefit companies, and it's a choice to work with nonprofits and to be a social enterprise. So can you talk about that? Like how you combine, you know, for-profit with, okay, I actually want to do this right and I actually do care about the community.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come to that? Was that something that happened when you were forming the business? Is that something that you developed over time?
Yeah, it's definitely been, I think it's an ongoing development of how I'm wanting us to show up in that space. I think initially I was swept up in this grand, awesome vision of, wow, business can be a force for good. And I want to be part of this global movement that's going to save us all. I really did like buy deep into that. I read this book called Conscious Capitalism by one of the founders of Whole Foods. And I just dove really deep into that community. I think my view on that has changed pretty significantly over time, but I think it is in a sense like a really good stepping stone for people is to like in the process of building a business to take some extra steps to get some sort of third-party certification. Making a promise to your community to treat the environment a certain way, treat employees a certain way, and have it be audited by someone, holding yourself to a certain set of standards of how transparent you are going to be about different business processes that you have with your community. And then just on a little bit on the darker flip side, unfortunately, it does give a lot of rise for people to use it as a means of hiding or to like dress up as something that they may or may not be, whether it is whether they're conscious of it or not. You know, I think sometimes it can be something that a business can do is to say like, well, I want to be a good business. And then they'll like check three boxes and they're like, wow, now I'm a good business. And then that actually like takes away a little bit of that energy of them auditing themselves more regularly. They're like, okay, well, yeah, I'm like officially a good business now. So then like my work here is done. I think a lot of people get skeptical of like that type of thing as well. So I think it's something that it's a great thing to get into. And at the same time, I think it's important to constantly continue to get better with too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, whether it's for this or with, DEI stuff is, you know, just putting out a statement that you care about Black people. If you don't hire Black people or, you know, if you don't actually like, have the actions and the representation and have the programs, if you're just putting out statements or checking boxes, you know, it's just lip service. So yeah, we definitely have that with like greening and pinking, and you know, it's people know that money is in social goods. So there's a question of, you know, are they doing it for the return on profit? Are they doing it because they actually care? Are they doing evil on the side? So it's like, we did this to become a benefit company, but we're also polluting.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is a really good point. And I think that, you know, that's something that I'm trying to work on at the state level, making the benefit company certification process more accountable. So we can't just check a box and say that's what they are. We actually hold them to it and make sure that that's what they're doing. And didn't you recently, so you've done both, right? You have your benefit company certification, and then you recently did the B Corp Lab certification as well.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that, like becoming a B Corp?
Yeah, and I think I want to say, like, having that first step of becoming a benefit company and then going through Benefit Corporations for Good as a certification, I think that was super important. And I think it really opened, opened my mind to like this entire community that I didn't entirely understood existed. It just set us off on that path. And especially for starting out as, you know, like micro business solopreneur, I think it was like a really great first step of things. And I think just like going into B Corp, it was just like a more robust process of something really similar. I think at first I was really drawn to the B Corp community because some local events in town, I saw that it was kind of like a really active social club. And I didn't fully understand like what it meant to go through that and what that certification meant. I kind of thought it was just like another stamp. But then when I finally started going through that process myself, like, oh my God, it was just like so rigorous. It probably took about all in all somewhere close to a year and a half. And it's just been really cool having that now and having it just be this extra little piece that talking to clients and being recognized as a B Corp there, it brings in this like another sense of credibility, and it's impressive, and people just want to work with you a little bit more. And I think I recognize that, and that's really cool. And at the same time, I want to just preach a sense of like, hey, try and like work with companies that have these types of like certifications and these stamps, and continue to be skeptical of them. To push them, because there's still like a long way to go. I think it's like, you can definitely be a bad company and be a benefit company, and you can definitely be a bad company and be a B Corp, but it's just a little bit harder.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's kind of like with social justice, it requires continual asking the questions and shaping of status quo, continual maintenance. You know, it's not you do one thing and that's it. It's kind of duration to it. So the idea that there's some people who potentially did something to get the certification, right? And then that's it. Okay, we're done. We did it for a year. That definitely seems really plausible. But yeah, I think that world, it's interesting, because shouldn't all business just do that?
Yeah.
We live in a world where it seems like, shouldn't businesses actually care about the environment and people, and, you know, ask questions about the community? So the idea that we're getting a certificate for something that we should just be, kind of a very interesting concept. So let me ask you, you know, did you always film things? Were you always interested in media? Like, I picture you kind of like in a, you know, like Joe Goldberg situation, like kind of creeping up on your family and filming them, you know, cooking breakfast or whatever. Like, was that what happened? Or were you, later on in your life, you figured out that you want to be involved in filming
Yeah, no, I definitely I grew up just watching a bunch of movies. I geeked out about different directors. I always wanted to be a writer and like a Hollywood film director. And my parents had like a little camcorder when I was a little kid, and we would go on like different trips, and I would just take this camcorder and I would go off into the woods by myself and just like create little stories of things. I think that's kind of how it all started. It was just really awesome to be able to cut together stories by yourself. And then going into like later in like middle school and high school, I it just kind of grew. I started a little production company. I guess not necessarily a production company. Just like a personal brand. It was called Kiwi Creations. And
great. I like that name.
Oh yeah. And then I still got my little Kiwi right here just sitting next to my desk. Is the root of it all. But that was something that we would just get together with a bunch of friends, and we would like create these like zombie movies, and we'd like go out in some field and throw fake blood on each other, and you know, and got many times. And
did you have video assignments for high school? I feel like we had to create, you know, like reenactments of historical things, or like Spanish class, we create a video in Spanish. Checking into a hotel or something and doing it in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you were like the person that everybody wanted in their group because you knew how to actually do video production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like looked for every opportunity I could for like a group project or something in school that we could do the video, or even if it was like, all right, just do a poster board. I would say like, can we do a video instead and get extra credit, you know? And I'd try and find any opportunity I could to do as much production as possible. So.
And you grew up in the Midwest, right?
No. Yeah. I recently visited a friend in the Midwest. But yeah, actually that was the first time I'd been there. It was a couple weeks ago, but I actually did grow up in, the Portland area. Mm-hmm.
And so, what is it like to be in the same area where you grew up, like as an adult, doing your business?
Yeah, it's okay. It's good. I think I'm thankful to have had a lot of encouragement from people over time. I actually went to my high school reunion last week.
Nice.
And it's pretty cool just being there and having people that I knew that I hadn't talked to in many, many years, it was like, wow, like I saw you on like social and you actually like did the thing. You said you like ended up doing the thing that you said you were going to do. So that feels pretty cool to be recognized in that way. And I think that
it was your 10 year, right?
Yeah, it was a 10 year. Yeah. So I think it's been cool to have people just always be around and pay attention to that. I've tried to be an outward dreamer about what I'm hoping to get out of life and projects that I'm interested in. And I try to be pretty vocal about that. And it seems like people remember that and encourage it. So I've been very fortunate in that regard. I think it's something that's certainly like kept me going over time, is knowing that I have this like promise to so many people to, you know, follow my dreams because it gives them inspiration or something. I think it's pushed me past like instances that may have been a lot harder.
Yeah. Was there anybody that you saw that you had no idea? I mean, I guess Facebook kind of ruins it, but you know, is there someone who like you never thought would have kids and now they have 5 kids?
Oh yeah. No, it was crazy. Yeah. Just, I would like be in circles of people and someone would come up and then be like, oh, hey, Eric, how's it going? And then I have no idea who they were. And I'd like look at their name tag. And I'm like, oh, hey, buddy, I did not recognize you. But And just like talking to some people, they're like, oh yeah, I got like 4 kids and they live in like Florida now. And I'm on my second marriage and I'm like, oh my God, I have like 4 roommates. And
yeah, it's interesting, you know, what people decide to do or, where roads lead. You know, sometimes people do entirely different things. Like someone was on, you know, the dance team and now they own an auto shop and you're like, oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's pretty crazy. Just like seeing how trajectory of life takes people in a lot of different ways. And I think it was really cool just going and meeting with a lot of people that I might not have been like good friends with back in high school, but there was just such a sense of encouragement of everyone wanting to do well, you know, like I had like some conversations with people that I didn't really know much. And I would like talk about like my situation. They're like, wow, this is so awesome. Like, I'm super happy for you. And like, even if we weren't friends, like everyone genuinely came to that space and they were like really hoping for the best for each other, which is a lot more positive than I expected. So,
yeah. And I think, I mean, I'm from Southern California, so no offense to California because I still love it. But I think that in Portland and Oregon in general, people are a lot more community oriented where they're genuinely supportive and genuinely happy about that. Not that people in California wouldn't be, but it's a little bit more competitive. It's a little bit more like, how are you? Wait, no, let me talk about me.
Yeah.
Well, I know your business has been growing. One of the things I want to talk to you about is going from having your own business and kind of being in your own mind, which you have to be as a business owner, mm-hmm. to growing and expanding and relinquishing control and talking to other people about vision and business development, things like that. So I guess my question for you is, was that hard for you to make that leap from just you to growing your business, kind of going from business to company with a variety of roles and things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm constantly, you know, having such a hard time relinquishing control. But I definitely have a lot over these past couple of years. I think I held on to trying doing everything by myself for so long until I pretty much just got like exhausted and I had to ask for help and I was terrified of it, but I like didn't have a choice. And then like, once I did, I was just blown away by so many like more opportunities started to open up. Was able to take on projects I would not have been able to do by myself and start working with more clients simultaneously. I think I really worried about the quality of things dropping, but the quality actually got way better. And just like the process of everything got significantly better. It's certainly a big challenge when like I know that I have a vision for something that wants to go a certain way and then I get some pushback from other team members on it. But I think all in all, like, yeah, just like having a team of people that are really excited about what they do and believe in what we do, and want to bring some of that passion to the table has just helped us significantly. And it's still pretty new for me. I had like one pretty regular contractor that I worked with in 2019, at the beginning of 2019, and then it grew to like a handful of contractors and stuff like that. And then now we're a pretty like regular team of 8 people. So it's been gradual, but it's felt like it's all been pretty fast as well.
Well, I mean, you've been around 5 years, and I went to your picnic. Mm-hmm. COVID safe picnic in the park. It was fun. So I noticed, you know, the people that you hired, they're all very diverse, both in skill and in background. Mm-hmm. And so can you talk a little bit about that? Like when you're hiring, Are you looking for certain things in particular? Are you asking questions about cultural fit, for example? Are you making sure that those people that you're hiring actually, it's not just about the filming or the skill set. It's, do you care about, our B Corp values? Are you civically engaged? Do you care about the community and about nonprofits? Like, I guess, how do you go about building that team that you know not only has the skill set, but also has that cultural fit?
Yeah, I mean, I think skill set is something that I see is like second or third tier for what I look for in a team member. Just because I'm very much in the belief that like with time, you can teach someone to edit a certain way. You can teach someone to film by a certain sequence of by a certain process with a certain camera, but you can't really teach people to be excited about life, you know, and to be interested in different like people and industries, because we work with a ton of different industries. And so I probably look for that most, is just a sense of like curiosity and excitement about doing new things and learning things from who we hire. And then in addition to that, we want to make sure there's like a really good company fit, because what I've tried to grow as the branding of Bridge City Media is to have a pretty genuine beat on the city. So not necessarily someone who's just like, oh yeah, you know, let's do a bunch of like stuff with donuts and mustaches, you know, but to have people who are like actually deeply involved in like, you know, the more passionate parts of what's trying to happen with the city. Like a lot of the people on our team have been like actively involved in a lot of protests throughout the past couple of years, and that's intentional. Like we want to make sure that we're like working with people that understand like the full stories of things in that way, because I mean that has very much like defined our city. We work with a few nonprofits that work directly with the houseless community in Portland, and some of our team members have like do work with like mutual aid groups for like houseless people. So I think just like having that cultural understanding makes them so much more successful in their role for certain projects. And then just in general, like having more diversity in our team as far as like backgrounds and skill sets, it just brings so much better perspective on a lot of pieces that we have for our clients, because although we're creating a video for them, ultimately we are business consultants for them, and we're marketers and we're advertisers. And if there's a perspective that is being overlooked for this message that is supposed to define every aspect of this company, and you just have like a team of everyone who has the same experience making all the decisions, then that's going to be a pretty weak product. So I feel like we found a lot of strength in having a group of people who have more dynamic backgrounds for giving insight on certain projects.
How do you know when you're doing that application process or that human resources process, who those people are? Like, are there certain questions that you ask?
I think for the most part, I take great care in looking at people's design of a resume and design of a cover letter. I almost like that's sometimes more important to me than the actual details of what they worked on. But like the ability of people to sell themselves as like designers and to have an eye with how they're representing something that they're wanting to be involved with, I think that's like a really key part of the video production process that we have for businesses. And I think it's just really important that when I have interviews with people that they have some experience with customer service. That's always something I look for. I worked in restaurants for 10 years and I really appreciate people who have a sense of going above and beyond for clients, but also like have a respect for people who like know that grind, that type of a life. I don't think, you know, we necessarily are going to, I don't think Bridge City Media is necessarily going to jibe too well with someone who went to like an Ivy League school and like had like a design internship or something like that. And now they're like fresh out of college and they haven't like gotten their hands too dirty with things. Because like, while we're like a marketing company, like, you know, we definitely like get pretty deep into situations with the clients that we work with. And, you know, we want people to feel comfortable with that as well as excited about it.
So it sounds like real people who are authentic, who know who they are, and then, you know, an excitement for what you're doing and what you stand for as a company, versus just a fancy resume that lists like degrees and GPA and stuff like that. It's more about the person, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I have such a respect for people who are aware of what they don't know and they feel like comfortable being vulnerable about that, but also like excited about the possibility of more.
Sure.
That's just like an energy that I've tried to bring with me on a lot of things, is say like, I'm pretty sure I can do this. I know that this is something that I still need to learn more about and I'm really stoked to do it. So
I agree with that. I don't trust people who pretend to know everything or they're like, I'm perfect, I can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people who I worry about. So you mentioned, and I was going to ask you about this, but you mentioned it, you know, you worked in restaurants for 10 years. I did too. And,
mm-hmm.
There's a grind and there's a hustle, but you know, I admire people who do that while forming a business. And so I know that, you know, you still had to open your business and you're still working in the restaurant. And I think for a lot of people that are listening to the podcast, that may be the case. You know, you have to take multiple jobs. You have to make sacrifices. You have to, you know, keep a job that maybe is not the best, but you're doing it so that you can work on your dream. And then after a shitty year or shitty 2 years, you reach a point where you have, you know, sustainability and you can stop doing that other thing. So can you kind of just talk about that, like the reality of that, you know, you have to sort of conceptualize that as you're serving tables and you have a horrible day that life will get better for you. And no offense to people who do, you know, restaurant work for a living. It's a respectable career. It's what I'm trying to get at is the people who, you know, you're not really supposed to be there. You're there temporarily in the moment because you have something else that you want to do.
Yeah.
How do you sort of conceptualize, you know, I'm doing this now so that I can do this other thing later?
Yeah. I mean, I think I definitely kept that energy with me for a really long time. I started working in a restaurant in high school and then I worked full time my entire way through college, and that felt okay while I was doing that. It was just like, yeah, this is what you do, you know, pay your way. And I think, really some of that ego started to set in afterwards when it's like, okay, like, why aren't I taking the steps to like leave and get something different and better, quote unquote, you know? And I did try to do that for a while, but I wasn't happy with it.
You worked a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah. I worked a 9-to-5 for a while, like right out of college. I actually worked for Uber, like in their marketing department. But yeah. And then I started the business and I was like, okay, you know, I need to have some like side hustle. Went back to restaurant in order to have some of that consistent income. And I just had this whole process made up in my mind of like, all right, I'm going to work like 3 days a week, and then I'm going to do this much with my business, and then it's going to go down to 2 days a week, and then it's going to go down to 1 day a week. And I'm like, yes, I finally did it. Things are going well. I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to fully jump in. And then I had to go back, and that was tough, but I think it was like a really important thing for me to go through, is like knowing that, a process that you expect to happen is not necessarily going to happen perfectly. And sometimes you need to go back to some support over time. I don't think I know any business that like everything just went perfectly as planned and they had this like easy transition into things. I think there's a transition and then sometimes a pretty painful learning curve, and you have to like seek refuge for a little bit. So I kind of did that with restaurants. Is I jumped fully in, I had to come back to 2 days a week, then down to 1 day a week, and then back fully in, and then I came back to 1 day a week. You know, I'm really thankful that I had a really cool restaurant job that allowed me to do that and was supportive of that process and like believed in me starting this business and wanted me to succeed in that way. And then also was there to support me when I needed to.
Did you ever think, well, you know, I've had this before, like I'm finally also, you know, I'm at a place where I'm doing something I like and I work for myself, but I had moments where I was like, why can't I just get a 9-to-5 job, or why can't I just be happy doing that? Or, you know, like it seems almost easier if you can do something else, because essentially when you're doing the restaurant thing and you're doing your business, working all day and night, and then you're like, am I really getting somewhere? What if I had just, you know, can I be at a job that has benefits, and can I be at a job that's, I don't know. So I guess the question I have for you is, did you ever in this business process think about that? Like even after leaving your Uber job, were you ever like, I should just say, you know, fuck it and start applying to other 9-to-5 jobs?
Oh yeah. I mean, I wanted to say fuck it a lot, you know, throughout the past like few years. I think it's like slowly gotten less frequent over time. But yeah, I mean, it's tough to grind, because sometimes like a really, really good week will be like amazing. And then like a really bad week just has no bottom. So like it can be pretty devastating when like three bad things go wrong in a row, and like all of that risk is on you as the business owner. And so it just, like, I definitely have had a lot of instances where I've really missed just saying like, okay, you know what, I'm just going to like do this thing. I'm going to clock in, I'm going to clock out. I got this like consistent pay. I got these like nice little benefits, and I don't have to worry or think much about it. And then I can just look forward to the weekend. But yeah, I mean, I think
you feel like, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything, but I feel like I'm always working. Do you feel like, is that just a small business owner thing?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm constantly working. My partner will ask me like what I'm doing. He's like, are you working right now? And then I'll have to think about it. And I'll like look at my phone and I'm like, wait, who am I talking to? I'm talking to this person. No, they're a friend. Wait, I'm kind of talking to them about networking with someone they know though. Shit, I'm working, you know?
Yeah. Or just like emailing, you know, Andy gets mad at me because we'll have to go somewhere and I'll say, oh, I'm just going to answer 2 emails. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I thought you were just going to answer 2 emails.
Yeah.
40 minutes have gone by. But I think that's a struggle. And I think especially now with technology in a virtual world, and clients want things now, and it's an emergency for everybody. Also just when we're starting out, you have to be extremely responsive, because if you're not, there's 10 other companies just like you. So there is that sort of like, kind of like a hummingbird with nectar. Like, I have to do this and then go on to the next flower. And I'm always like, where's the next job? Where's the next thing? And so I think small business owners, you reach a point where you don't have to do that. I mean, you still have to provide quality and you still have to be responsive, but you don't have to return an email at 10 o'clock at night. Like, that person can get your email in the morning, but it's sort of like we still maintain that we have to do that, that we have to be constantly responsive at all times of the day and hold out every client to have the most important project or, you know, enable their decision to call on an emergency.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty tough to like turn off. I think, I'll get an email. I'll send an email at 9 and then someone will like email me back at like 9:15. I'm like, no, you're not allowed to, like, I'm the only one that's allowed to be up this late. Yeah. But then like, even if you're like clocking out for the day, you're just aware going to sleep. You're like, all right, yeah, there's those like 10 tasks that I have to do before 9, you know?
So do you have ways, to shut it off or shut it down? I mean, are there things you do, like a movie? Are you someone who likes to watch TikTok videos? Mm-hmm. You know, are you like, how are you getting out of that like nonstop business mindset?
Yeah, I mean, I try to like just really get myself away from my phone. Because, and I actually like have all notifications turned off on my phone other than texts, you know, like texts and calls will come through, but like, I try not to like let email notifications come through or anything like on social. And so I try and keep my weekends open as much as I can. And during that time, I don't really like look at my phone at all. So I like to like go out in my backyard and read, or I'll like hang out with my dog, or I'll like go hang out with some friends and go on a hike and things like that. But I think it's always something that's going to be in the background of your mind. But I think over time, thankfully, especially like as a business, getting past that really, really small business scarcity mode, it feels like, hey, it's okay that this happens tomorrow. You know, I'm not gonna like lose this client. Or, you know, if it's something's like happening like a little bit later than expected, like, what are you gonna do? You're just gonna talk to them about it and say like, hey, I'm sorry, like I got a few things going on. And for the most part, you know, everyone's gonna respect that people that they're working with are in like a really good balance with their own life and have like a good head on their shoulders if they're taking care of all these important projects. So
has it ever happened to you where someone says like, I have to have that by Tuesday, and then you've done it, you stay up super late, you get it done, and then they're like, oh, I'm actually in Hawaii, or I'm actually camping? You're like, well, why did I stay up all night for that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. All the time. Oh my God. It just like drives me nuts, but we'll have like some deadline and I'll be freaking out. And then I'll like be working with the team and everyone was just like working like super late. We'll send it along and then it'll be like this automated out of office email. And it's like, what? So, yeah, definitely like something to avoid, but it certainly happens.
Yeah. And then what I wanted to know is your family, I mean, are they business oriented? Are they creative? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's interesting because they never have been, really. They're not business oriented in any way. My mom's a pharmacist and my dad hasn't like worked really since I've been a kid. But actually like in the past few years, they've become more entrepreneurial themselves. So like my dad's trying to like write books and sell it on Amazon. And I think he's really like excited about trying to, have some sort of like creative outlet for himself in that way. And then like my mom's trying to like look ahead to start a small company with her friend after she retires. So Yeah, they didn't start out with like any sort of like business, but they always are excited to talk to me about what I have going on. And I think they're looking forward to me being like a consultant to their projects once they get them off the ground as well.
So more than just asking you about, you know, how to fix technological devices, because that's what happens with my family.
Yeah, no, and I'm pretty, I mean, it still happens, but like, I think like a couple years ago, I'd be helping my dad with like opening up a browser, you know, or like, or like creating a new tab. And then he'll be like, oh, now he'll be like, oh, hey, can you help me with this like thing on the computer? I'm like, yeah, sure. What is it? And then he's just like, oh, how do I like re-render this without like the music track disabled, and then like upload it to these like two or three different platforms? And I'm like, wow, damn, all right, like that's like better than most of our clients. So it's pretty cool to see they've both come a long way in that way.
Yeah, that's really advanced. Mm-hmm. How has your business been affected by COVID? I mean, I know shooting people, you know, you can't really, I mean, I guess if it's about safety and health, like you would do something where you're wearing masks. I mean, have you had to take precautions both from a staff level and then also from, you know, client level interacting with people?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it definitely sucked at first. It was, I'd say at the very beginning, we lost like 75% of our contracts, and I was really like open about it. I understood, you know, but we had a lot of like signed contracts that are just like, yeah, sorry, we can't, or we're like, we're going to push this off indefinitely. And it was like, okay, yeah, no big deal. Yeah, I mean, in doing so, it was rough because we'd gotten to this place where I'd like built out a little team of people. And I had to let most of them go. And then we started getting creative again. I was like looking for any opportunity to do like different types of work. I like helped design someone's like sign outside of his shop, you know? So like really random stuff like that.
Can you film a video of my dog's birthday party?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just all over the place. But yeah, and then something happened. I think there was like that moment where everyone realized, oh my God, this is not going to end. Then what happened was people were like, okay, we're not going to wait anymore. Now we're going to do the opposite and like really invest in our digital footprint more than ever before. And now we have to have video, in order to survive. So, I did not expect that to happen, but I'd say somewhere around like summer of last year, things just started picking up and they haven't really slowed down since. It just picked up more and more from there. And yeah, like I think we're kind of just like in the right place at the right time with it. And we were able to like meet demand and, you know, gave out like COVID discounts of things at first, but you know, as the world became more used to this as a new normal, yeah, we've been able to have the ability to just still grow in this time after a pretty significant dip.
Well, and probably you were ready for that or adaptable. If you hadn't been, then you wouldn't have been able to change services, yeah, or health and safety precautions and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's a weird like blessing in disguise is that we're still super small when the pandemic hit, and we're still very small now, but like fortunate that we didn't have like a studio and a ton of equipment and a bunch of people on payroll and just like a huge overhead, you know, because that did happen to a few production companies in town as like pandemic hit, and it just destroyed them forever, you know, and they actually went out of business. But we were small enough that it was like, yeah, this hurts a lot, but you know, that's life that we're really used to anyway. So
yeah. Well, and it sounds like you've lived life in other ways, that when something like this happens to your business, you're sort of ready emotionally for whatever that is. So it's like, oh, shit hits the fan, great. just another day. I've been there before.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that people in business who potentially have had other issues with life, maybe if there's something that happens to the business, they're a little bit stronger and more prepared and ready to adapt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think I can take a lot, you know. I think my main thing now is having employees and payroll, and there's like a lot more of a consistent team, and this is their full-time gig. I'm in the new mindset of like, oh, it's not just me, you know. It's mm-hmm. like if I'm having a bad day, I can be like, all right, Eric, suck it up, you know. But if our team is having like a bad week, you know, like that's unacceptable, you know, and we have to do something about it right away. So.
Very cool. So the last part of the podcast, I have 5 questions for you.
Yes.
So the first question is, what's a quote or mantra that you live by?
Quote or mantra that I live by. I'm just thinking of the first one that like pops into my head is like, don't judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree.
I've never heard that. I've heard a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. I've heard that quote.
Okay, yeah, it's definitely the same ballpark for sure. Yeah, just being aware that people have their own like skill sets of things, and even if they're not doing exactly what you're hoping they do, then like that they're gonna have a talent in another regard. So.
Well, I mean, that's what makes a good leader, is like having the ability to recognize who those people are and what they can do and embrace them for who they are.
Yeah.
What's your favorite childhood memory?
My favorite childhood memory. I guess like just first one comes to mind, just, I lived in Wyoming for a while when I was a little kid, and I got to go to this like dinosaur museum every day. And so just like...
Very cool for a small child.
Oh yeah. It was like right next to our house. And so we just like got to like walk over to this like dinosaur museum, and I just got to like look at old bones and like make up stories in my head. Yeah, I think I was definitely like a bored kid, so like having the opportunity to like just go to spaces like that and then just like create stories in your head just has helped long term for a lot of my own process of being like a visualizer.
Maybe in the future is a music video featuring dinosaurs.
Oh, that'd be so good. Featuring the heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is a failure or mistake that you made that actually turned out for the best?
Failure, mistake.
Well, supposedly, if it turned out for the best, it wasn't a failure or mistake.
Yeah, I know.
But
yeah.
In the moment, you thought it was a failure or mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that... weirdly enough, kind of like COVID. I think that we tried to do what we did correct, but we still made like a lot of mistakes like through the beginning of everything, and we didn't really anticipate like how things were gonna go. So I think that in a weird way, just getting like leveled out as a company, just having to go back a few steps and start from scratch almost was a great opportunity to reevaluate how we do everything, and allowed us to become a lot stronger. Just like from the ground up again. And I think that I would welcome a less crazy version of that now, you know. I think it's always good to like, you know, 2 steps forward, 1 step back, and you know, sometimes it's easy when that 1 step back is decided for you.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, not just for you and small business owners, but COVID has really, you know, pulled the curtain on all these other issues that exist, you know, about healthcare being tied to the employer and houseless issues. I mean, it goes on and on and on. We shouldn't require such a big thing and so many casualties and illnesses for us as a society to learn about those things or give them attention. But I mean, if there's a silver lining or a positive part of it, hopefully we all become stronger and are more intentional with decisions that we make.
Yeah.
What issue or issues keep you up at night?
What's that?
What issue or issues keep you up at night?
Yeah, I'd say just immediately, like, climate change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's like a generic answer, but
it's
keeps me up sometimes.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Especially when there's fires and floods and hurricanes and everything else.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's a fun question is, who is your favorite pop star or favorite band?
Weirdly right now, it's like, Daft Punk. I think just like for whatever reason, they broke up last year and I was like, wow, now I need to get really, really into them. So
I like Daft Punk.
Yeah, I'll put Daft Punk on repeat just like while I'm doing tasks, you know, just like throughout my regular work day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, do you want to give a shout out to the community or someone in the community who's doing a good job? And then also, how do people get a hold of you? So if they want to learn more about Bridge City Media, what's the best way?
Yeah. Shout outs are for sure my team. I would not be anywhere close to where I am or this company without them. Like sometimes I like look at what we do and I'm like, I guess I did that and like a little bit of that, you know. I'm kind of like holding everything together, it feels like, but a lot of like the creativity is like being very much propelled by some really amazing people that I work with. And then I want to give a shout out to you. You've always been like super cool and supportive and just like the chillest lawyer ever.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I don't ask that question to
I
really appreciate that. It's my pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think just like there's this informal team of people in that social enterprise space, like you, Tom, Marianne, you know, Kim Altrich Flick. Just like some, like my friend, like Amy Powell, like I think just a lot of people in that space that we might not like necessarily like be directly part of like the same organization, but I found a lot of inspiration from just working with people that are in a similar space of growing their business in a similar size at the same time. Like I think that's, it can get really lonely to do this type of work and build it up by yourself. And even if you have team members, like you're the only one that's going to be in that type of position, but it's really nice to connect with people who are all also like in a similar environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And then what was the part due to that?
Definitely. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You're easy to be friends with professionally and personally and to talk to. So yeah, I say, you know, right back at you. I do what I do because I'm inspired by businesses who take the time to be intentional and have social enterprises. So keep up the work.
Thank you.
The last part was how do people get a hold of you? So if they want to, they want to, you know, fangirl or creep or hire you for a video shoot.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I mean, website's good, email's good, sales@bridgecitymedia.com or eric@bridgecitymedia.com or, but I mean, people like hit us up on Instagram, phone call. Sometimes people just like text me out of the blue and
Well, I appreciate you as a person, and thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks for being a for-profit benefit company, and just being a good person. I mean, you care about community, you care about people, and that's what it's about. So I appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate you too, and I appreciate your time.
Well, man, have a good night.
You too. Thanks.
We want to thank Eric for hanging out with us on this episode of the podcast and remind you to visit bridgecitymedia.com. Be sure not to miss any of our upcoming guests by subscribing to the podcast on your favorite streaming service. You can also visit allofyourbusinesspodcast.com for previous episodes, custom gear, and if you happen to know anybody that you think would be a great fit for the podcast, click our contact page and let us know.